At some point, I want to hit the record button, you know.
That helps. You've already hit it, motherfucker. I know what it is.
I'm not... Listen, do we have to go over the rules of Pot is War again?
Exactly. Which, hence why I know you've already hit the record button.
I can tell everybody it's not Tuesday, though, and that's a shoot.
And I don't even know why I do that anymore, because the show doesn't come out till Friday, so shit. I sound like a dickhead every single time.
You do, but yeah. It's part of the fun.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't need confirmation on that, Balls, but thank you for confirmation that I didn't need.
You do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Look at how much pleasure he took in, you know, agreeing with you there.
Hey, we're not arguing. Look at this. This is us getting along. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. Oh, it's harmonious.
You smucks of a bitch. Shout out to the sultry, soulful tones of the one, the only Anderson .Paak. If you all haven't checked out his latest album, Ventura, I highly suggest that you do. And he has actually a very excellent point. No one begs anymore. Because if you guys remember back in the day when it came to the R&B songs, like 75% of the songs was the dude fucking up and him begging and pleading his woman to come back home. And considering how my evening has gone, I think I'm going to have to get in that begging mode here after we finish recording. But that's neither here nor there. Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the latest edition of Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with...
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And I'm going to use my head and say, please, baby, 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 please, baby, 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 please, baby, 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 please. Now, how can you use your head as the list? I'm glad you asked. You can take yourselves to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official chair shot t-shirts. We've got the Jesus Did the Job shirt. We've got the shirt that is sweeping the internet by storm, endorsed by the man himself, Baron Corbin, i.e. Baron Corbin sucks. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling. We've got the Corona chair shot logo. We've got Chairshot 316. That's one of my personal faves as well. We've got a lot of cool designs. We've got old school. We've got new school. And if you enjoy what we do and the content that we provide you, come fox with your boys a little bit, man, and spend a little paper, man. Again, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're also patrons now. So if you enjoy what we do, not just us, but all the great content we provide across the board with all the Chairshot shows. If you want to get them a little early, if you want to get a little extra, all it's going to cost you is $5. Like, come on, y'all. It's $5 for us. You're paying $12 for the Wrestling Observer. So you pay $5 for us, $9.99 for the WWE Network, and you're good on all of your wrestling needs. Point blank, period. Go to patreon.com/thechairshot. Again, patreon.com/thechairshot. And one more again, patreon.com/thechairshot. without further ado, y'all know me. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. And as always, I'm joined by the illustrious one and only, illustrious in quotation marks, Mr. Andrew Blass.
Thank you. Thank you for that one. Quotations and all. I'll take it. It's that time of the week again. Hey, Mr. Platt.
Yes, and you sound so excited to be here. So, you know, fuck you very much.
I mean, it's, you know, everybody's got that 9 to 5 and the day, you know, doesn't always lend to a lot of energy after work.
He's worried about other things right now, and I can tell him that it's looking like a double.
Wonderful.
1 minute.
That doesn't help
either. 1 minute till 1 minute till a double.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
And that third voice that you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is the one and only, the commissioner himself, Mr. PC Tunney.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi, how you doing? Just so everybody knows, at some point, Andrew Blaz is a Washington Capitals fan, and they are in overtime against the Carolina Hurricanes, and he just couldn't take it. Shout out to Big Dave, big Washington Caps fan. I am watching the game for him. He has turned it off. He is going to be going to war intellectually, wrestling-wise, with Mr. Christopher Platt, and at some point I will jump in the show, and he will either rejoice abundantly and have such positive energy moving forward, or he will, I don't know, he could anything as bad as leave the call here or just be very somber the rest of the way, I feel like.
That's a fair assessment.
Well, number one, if we're going to an intellectual war, one of us is sadly outnumbered, but that's neither here nor there. Number two,
yourself like that, buddy. I'm sorry about you.
Don't worry. I'm not. Don't worry about that. I have a lot of issues, man, but one of them is not self-esteem. I'm good in that department.
Well, that's good. Happy
as,
for you.
As a matter of fact, my ego and my accomplishments probably don't match up very well. That's probably somewhat of a problem.
But as long as you act like they do, that's all that matters.
Hey, man, I speak it into existence as I look at it.
That works.
If I keep telling myself I'm the shit, eventually, at some point in time, I will, in fact, end up being the shit.
Can you speak into existence a Capitals victory against the Hurricanes so we can just get through this round?
I don't know if my powers extend to that. Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was Game 7.
Yeah, I know. That's why I stopped watching.
So you one of them. Okay, fair enough. I've had those Browns games where it's like, I can't take this shit. I got to turn it off. I feel you.
Well, as much as you say Brown's going to Brown, for the exception of last year, Caps were going to Caps. So, like, Caps like to capsize most of the time in the playoffs. Last year was an anomaly.
Well, I've noticed this, man, and I speak from experience, being a Cleveland sports fan. This is what happens when you finally get over the hump, unless you're from Boston, of course. You start to smell yourself a little too much, and you get wildly overconfident, forgetting all the previous history that is against you, despite that one outlier year that just happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Capitals fans will never forget. We're some of the most realistic and cynical group of fans ever. Ask Big Dave when you get a shot to talk to him.
That's fair, because I ran into this conundrum. What was it? Was it 20? I can't remember. Was it 2016 or 2017 when the Indians were playing the Cubs in the World Series and the Indians were up 3-1 and the Cubs ended up coming back and winning the 7?
2016, I think, right? Yeah, it was the year after Back to the Future predicted it.
Yeah, and yeah, that one was rough. And I knew it was going to go all bad when it was Game 6 back in Cleveland, and it was the pop fly, and it fell between the center fielder and the shortstop, you know what I mean, on some major league shit. And I'm like, holy shit, we finna lose this whole series.
Yeah, that was just the baseball gods being like, nope.
We're on to a double.
Yeah, so double overtime. So we'll keep you posted, man.
Okay.
First overtime just ended.
Can we get to the first question then before double overtime?
Yeah.
did you miss me? So, how I have missed you. But I knew that we would be back together again someday.
Gentlemen, Firefly Funhouse. And you know what? God damn it, Vince. Get out of my head. Get out of my DMs and Twitter. Stop listening to my show. Stop stealing all of my ideas, okay? I'm just going to stop right there with that. Gentlemen, can this new gimmick for Bray Wyatt serve him well enough to bring him back and vault him ahead of where he was, this attraction that couldn't win a big match?
Well, first and foremost, man, with all due respect to the Firefly Funhouse, I have to give shout out to JoJo Offerman, who clearly has that fire box. Like, god damn, like he's made a complete 180. Yo, real spit, man. This reminds me of, y'all remember when Erykah Badu was fucking the rappers, and, you know, when she fucked the rapper, they started dressing like Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote? This is what that reminds me of, man. He's done a complete 180. But all jokes aside, and I've heard a little bit of backlash about this vignette on Twitter, which I don't understand, and you people need to get a life. Like, yo, man, it's obviously a different direction. We all think that the Bray Wyatt character has a lot of potential, and this whole thing, it's Pee-wee's Playhouse meets Mr. Rogers meets what the fuck. I don't really know how better I can summarize what we just saw. That being said, all things aside, he looks like he's in tremendous shape and he's ready for a big push. And I still think that Bray could be a main event player. And he's been gone long enough for people to actually miss him. And I'm intrigued. I don't understand how you couldn't be intrigued after this one vignette. Like, it is what it is. And I see people shitting on it, but how can you shit on it after, like, one vignette? We don't know where this is headed yet. I do have my... how should I say it? I think I know where it's headed because I've watched this thing a few times trying to kind of get a grasp on it. Some of the things that stood out for me, for example, was number one, when he first walked into the room, you saw that there was a rocking chair that was covered up by a blanket there. And then he's got the two gloves. And what is it? One of them says hate and one of them says he. And even, yeah, and even when he was talking to the audience, when were booing him, you could see that sinister look in his eyes. So this is going somewhere. Where, I have no idea, but I'm willing to go along for the ride. What about you, Drew?
I agree with you. The hurt and the heel gloves were fantastic. I like the little nod to Waylon Mercy, since that was obviously the inspiration for the Bray character, with the buzzard being named Mercy with the Hawaiian shirt. And, you know, the witch is obviously Sister Abigail to some degree.
See, That's funny. That's where you took it, because I always thought the inspiration for the Bray character was Robert De Niro from Cape Fear. But go ahead, man.
It could be that partially too, but there's a lot of crossover with Waylon Mercy character, and the buzzer definitely helps. So, yeah, there were a lot of little wrinkles of darkness, like when he put the gloves on and covered his face. You saw the whole scene just got dark and slow and ominous real quick, and then he kept with the kitty kind of gimmick. And I mean, when he says, "I'll light the way if you let me in," and he's a guy giggling with a chainsaw cutting up stuff, like there's obviously a lot there to unpack. So I don't know. I love the vignette, though, honestly. Like, that left me giggling for a couple days. Like, they showed it again on SmackDown, and I was still amused by it. So I don't know where it's going, and honestly, I don't care. My only two requests are, Bo Dallas needs to show up as a mailman, and if Curtis Axel doesn't come in a cowboy hat for the very obvious Cowboy Curtis reference back to, like,
I'm just
going to be sad.
No. If we're going to do Cowboy Curtis, right, it's got to be Apollo Crews. Or bring back Darren Young. Like, if we're gonna do Cowboy Curtis right, If we're gonna do Cowboy Curtis right,
it's gotta be R-Truth.
Yeah.
But he's on the wrong brand. He's on the wrong brand right now.
Xavier.
I disagree with you, but yes, Cowboy Curtis definitely needs to be Ron Killings. Yes, yes.
But still, like Curtis Axel, a cowboy hat. They don't even need to call him Cowboy Curtis. They could call him anything else, but it's a good reference. That's all I was going for. But if he did have little friends, I'll be a little mad.
It would be funny to see Curtis Axel with one of those, like, blackjack mulligan vest with the itty-bitty cowboy hat like Kurt Angle had on SmackDown back in the day. And, hey, guys, it's Cowboy Curtis. Okay, that could be funny.
And with how much history there is between those two families, the Hennings, the Rotundas, and, you know, all that, come on. Like, they have to be able to put that together. Enough references and goofy shit. But, yeah, I'm intrigued. I like what's going on.
I feel like PC wants to say something, so please.
I heard a possible Eric Young could be playing a character in the Firefly Funhouse.
That makes sense. I'm not as high on Eric Young as a lot of other people are. I think he's extremely talented, but I don't think he's going to be a major player. So that would be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Eric Young can play any kind of character because he was either goofball in TNA, like the ass of the joke, or he even had that small serious run where he was the leader of World Elite or whatever their like United Nations kind of group was, and then what, he got a concussion or hit his head during a match and then went back to goofy looking through trash for the TNA championship kind of shit. So he's got range when it comes to his ability to pull off a character, and he's not a bad wrestler, so I'm fine with it. I don't love it, but the fact that they have to repackage him anyway since Sanity's not around makes a lot of sense.
That's fair. Oh, I thought PC was about to say something. And again, like I just to reiterate, like he looks to be in phenomenal shape. He's been gone long enough where people actually miss him. And I know, DeMarco, faces and heels don't exist anymore. But Bray Wyatt was clearly positioned as a heel, which I think he was miscast. I really think that Bray Wyatt has been a face this whole time. I mean, anytime you can get 80,000 people, myself included, the WWE number is 100,000, but whatevs, to throw up their cell phones and be Fireflies, that's babyface activity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the same thing can be said for Elias, because people still buy into the what Elias says and they react correctly, and the same thing with the Iconics, even though the Iconics aren't positioned as a fan favorite kind of grouping. But I don't know. I guess to end this topic, I would like to say I would really like Firefly Funhouse to be the official theme song of Pot is War, because, you know, it encompasses everything about the vibe of the show and how, you know, we're just friends. And come on, you really don't want the whole experience to end? No, Tony? Now?
Aww. Well, if anybody that has spent more than 5 minutes with you would disagree that they don't want the experience to end. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Wow. That hurt. I don't even have
really?
I don't even have the kid gag reel to like just, you know, boo or feel bad for me right now. I feel
really that hurt?
I'm just sad. You hurt me somewhere.
All the egregious shit I've said to you, and that's just the one.
That's just cruel.
That's the one.
When it hurts that bad, you should go to the old Peter Griffin gig.
Yeah. Do you want a virtual hug? Is that what you're...
No, we're not going back to that. We're not going
back to that. You leave your camera off.
No, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening.
Have a bumper. Tell something. No, Johnny. Hit the button. Hit the button.
I'm rubbing your back, buddy. Rub your back. That's what it's all about. Backing up Kofi. Being in his corner. And wait a minute. Filling in for Big E. Big E with the assist to Woods. Down goes Rusev. Oh, Kinshasa fells Xavier Woods. Oh, wait a minute. Kofi pushed Owens out of the way. Trouble in paradise. Rick thinking by Kingston. Well, what the? Wait a minute.
Do you wish? It's funny because I want to ask the lame question of, oh boy, you know, Kevin Owens' turn, but do you wish they would have played it out one more week, or did they do it right week two? Because we all knew this was going to happen, right?
I mean, yeah, it was Kevin Owens. He turns on everybody. So nobody was surprised. And I've heard the arguments that it should have lasted a week longer, a couple weeks or something. And in the grand scope of everything, they're not wrong, per se. But in the fact that we have to get through Money in the Bank, and then they've got Blood Money or the Jam in the Sand or whatever we're calling the next one, you know, like a week or two later.
Let's not shit on the Saudi government.
No,
the American
government
has committed more atrocities.
I agree with you 1,000%. I agree with you 1,000%. No, I wasn't thinking blood money. That was an IWC thing. I was thinking fuck oil money. That's what you called it at one point.
Yes, I did. Yes.
I knew there was something with money, so I just got the name wrong. So that's a bigger match for Saudi Arabia. It's something that you can drag out over the course of two pay-per-views that are within 2 weeks of each other, or whatever the hell the timeline is. And that's the same reason why I think, you know, like AJ Styles won on Raw, because we know Daniel Bryan's injured conveniently because he doesn't want to do the Saudi thing, and WWE's respecting his decision to not play along with that. So he's currently injured, so you need a bigger name to kind of go up for the title, and that this all makes sense. So if we didn't have to placate an audience outside of the regular kind of WWE viewing audience of North America, yes, it should have lasted a week or two longer. But the fact that WWE is now doing lots of special shows, either Australia or Saudi Arabia, or they did one in Dubai at some point, like the fact that they're branching out a little more, I expect certain things to feel rushed or truncated a little bit. Like, oh, we could have got more out of that, but all right, this is still fine. What do you think, Chris?
So you think that Daniel Bryan is quote-unquote conveniently injured?
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's actually hurt, because last year he didn't want to do the Jam in the Sand, so that's why they had him do the match ahead of time on SmackDown against AJ, and then AJ fought, what, Samoa Joe or some shit like that at Jam in the Sand? So if he didn't want to do Saudi Arabia in whatever that was, November or October, he's not going to want to do it now in May. So I think this is just one of those, let's write him off TV for a month, get Kofi a high-profile kind of match, angle whatever we want, give him his first defense, it solidifies him as champion, and then we can reintroduce Daniel when it's back the normal daily grind, so to speak.
See, I'm not that cynical about it, because, I mean, we've obviously heard reports that Daniel was injured, but it's been very, we haven't heard a lot about what that injury might possibly be. So I'm not that cynical about it. It could be bullshit. It could be just it's after Mania and Melon Farmers take time off after Mania. Like, for example, nobody thinks Randall Orton is injured, but he's just taking some time off. But I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not going to really speculate. I'm just saying, when I first heard that he might possibly have been injured, and then you hear radio silence about what that injury could possibly be, You know, I thought the worst. My head went immediately to the worst case scenario. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, I go the opposite way, because if you think about real sports, even though I realize this is not a real sport, it's sports entertainment, simulated combat, whatever wording you want to use, even if Tom Brady is on a bullshit injury report for the Patriots, they still say toe, back, neck, shoulder. They give you some kind of vague hypothesis of where the injury is. If you just hear so-and-so is injured because we say so, that doesn't really lend a lot of credence to this injury report, quote-unquote. So unless you say something like Samoa Joe, when he was injured a couple years ago and couldn't make Mania for his match against Cena, they said there was a toe injury. It came out a couple days later when we found out he wasn't going to be there, but they still said there's an injury, here's the approximate location. They didn't say plantar fasciitis, they didn't say ingrown toenail or athlete's foot or broken toe. They just said toe injury, which is fine, I accept that. But when it's dude's hurt, how? Pain. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, number one, real quote-unquote sports are a lot closer to WWE than you all want to realize. But that's a different topic for a different show. Number two, like you said, they commented on Samoa Joe. He's got whatever you just said. I'm not even going to try to repeat that. But y'all heard what he just said. The fact that they're nondescript with this injury, that's what gives me pause for the cause. And I mean, it could be I'm just getting worked, but the fact that they haven't come out and said, well, he's dealing with this or he's dealing with that, and he's not a face, he's a heel, so there would really be, you know, storyline wise or, you know, kayfabe pal, there would be no rationale or explanation whatsoever to not tell us he's hurt and this is what's wrong with him. So that was, I'm not saying that there's something going on with his head. I'm just saying that type of scenario gives me pause for the cause. Now, back to the original topic with Kevin Owens, let me say this. Wow. You know, I didn't see that coming at all. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, it was believable.
It completely took me for a loop, and I was totally out of the blue.
You're almost as genuine as Seth Rollins' promos, buddy. Good job.
Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, it makes New Day look like some fucktards, because why in the bloody fuck would you ever trust at all? Like, this is the exact same scenario that always happens with Kevin Owens. And, you know, I was going to come on here and kind of shit on how they've been booking New Day, because, you know, last week they had Kofi coming out and twerking, and Balls, maybe you can refresh my memory about that time that Stone Cold Steve Austin came out shaking his man pussy when he was WWE champion.
That time he turned and joined the corporation, he was basically a walking man pussy.
Yes, but did he literally, like, shake his man pussy on national television?
Oh, see that? I mean, what was popular at that point? The Macarena? I don't think Stone Cold could say the Macarena, much less do it. So,
dude,
I don't think we're going to see that.
Shaking your man pussy is no longer popular.
I know what you mean.
Booty. Something is booty is not popular either. That shit was popular when I was in college.
Oh, pot is warm. Don't you dare be sour.
Maybe you're just too far ahead of the curve that you realize the curve and the fashion and the style is actually behind. So you're just too fashion forward and too progressive in your way of thinking.
No, that's just the black experience, man.
Wait, no, is that a new tag team? Are they with the Viking experience, the black experience? Is that going to be Velveteen Dream and, like, the Street Profits come up as the black experience?
That's hilarious, by the way. But do you know what I need to do? I need to create a domain where I sell all the used, outdated black slang to white people. I'll be a goddamn millionaire. Because, I mean, for real. I need to do that. But back to the Kevin Owens thing. It was a little early for me. I didn't think that was where they were going to go. I thought, again, this is my naivete, I thought that they were going to drag this shit out till SummerSlam, but clearly, no. We're in a microwavable world right now. So, it'll be a good match, and it'll be a good win for Kofi. And it makes sense. Like, why wouldn't Kevin Owens be pissy? Because, well, I mean, Kofi literally his mania match away from it. So why wouldn't he be pissy about the situation? That makes perfect sense.
It does. Kevin's actually validated for a change in his temper tantrum, so to speak. So I agree with you. Like I said, under normal circumstances, I would also agree that it's a little quick, but given the fact that Saudi Arabia is very shortly after Money in the Bank, this is a headliner kind of, you know, box office kind of angle. I'm okay with them pulling the trigger early, because Saudi Arabia's would rather see Kofi and Kevin Owens in something, even if it's a tag match or if it's a triple threat or if it's a rematch of a one-on-one with a stipulation, over Kofi and Mustafa Ali, or Kofi and whoever the fuck else you would throw in there for no apparent reason. So I get what you're saying. I don't disagree, but I think their main reason was the business side of fuck oil money.
I'm glad you said that, because that brought up another point that I wanted to make on Daniel Bryan. Then we can move on from here. You said that part of the reason they're pulling up this Daniel Bryan injury is because that way he doesn't have to go to the desert and the jam in the sand. But, dude, it's April. That shit ain't until June, bruh.
I thought it was in May.
No, they changed it to June.
Oh, they moved it?
Yes.
Because I thought it was supposed to be in May.
No, they moved the other pay-per-view.
I just told you they moved it.
No, they moved the other pay-per-view, I thought.
Like, I literally just told you they moved it. Bro, Andrew Blast, let me explain something to you.
I get that you just said it. That's what I'm saying. I didn't realize that.
No. Let me explain something to you right now, okay?
Uh-huh.
If I tell you it's raining cats and dogs outside, you let me know whether you want a Siamese or a Shih Tzu, motherfucker, okay? That's how this works, okay? My word is bond, bruh.
Good to know.
Yes.
So, still, though, it's what, June? I just looked it up. It's June 7th for time frame references, which is still only 3 weeks after Money in the Bank. So, it's plausible.
It's plausible that
you're not going to see Daniel until that point, because that still gives him 2 months to set up for something for SummerSlam. So it's plenty of time, and if he is injured, or if it's kayfabe injured, he does have a baby. You know, he's got a family. He can't be upset. And maybe you're right. Maybe there is something more to it. I like the fact that you're not as cynical about the situation as I am, but I'm just more on the he doesn't want to be in that, so it's a good way to write him off TV for a couple months.
Do we get Daniel and Kofi at SummerSlam?
That's interesting, because I mean the easy money would be Roman and Kofi at SummerSlam, but I think we're heading towards Lars and Roman at SummerSlam, so perhaps that's where Daniel gets his rematch and gets the belt back. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not against it, because I do think Roman's going to be stuck basically fending off the McMahon's hired hands at the time, be it, you know, Lars.
Please don't tell me. We got Roman. Tell me we're going to get Shane McMahon versus.
Yes, we are. Jesus. Roman. That's SummerSlam. Right. That's Roman Summer. Roman Summer is against the McMahons, and maybe it's Vince and Shane against Roman, right? Or maybe that's Ambrose's return. Vince and Shane against Roman and choosing of his partner, and Ambrose comes back. But Roman's not going to sniff the title till he's going to win the Rumble. He'll win it next Mania.
Vince ain't wrestling no more, man. Vince is a Golden Girls age right now.
Okay,
he ain't wrestling
he's listening now, so he's definitely wrestling.
Shane and Roman at SummerSlam, that's just not what I want to see happen.
You did hear that rumor that they're playing with the idea of putting the strap on Shane, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm in there like swimwear.
You like that idea, Tony?
Oh, fuck yeah, why not? It just pisses everybody else off.
It would be a heat magnet, but, you know, My black won't allow me to condone that fucking period.
Okay. I don't give a damn. Like the idea, but
you can kiss my ass, suck my dick. I don't give a fuck. I'm biased. My blackness won't allow me to co-sign that bullshit ass idea. Although it would be a heat magnet, clearly. Because you see how upset I'm getting about just thinking about it.
If Shane's the one that takes the belt off of Kofi, and then we see something like Elias and Lars against Kofi and Roman, so the McMahons try to basically position everybody, you know, against each other and away from the belt, because Shane bullshits his way into fucking beating New Day and beating Kofi.
That shit makes so much goddamn sense, Shane taking the belt off of Kofi, that I'm pissed off that PC and you, Ball, even put that into the lexicon, because goddamn it, I can see that scenario happening, and it's pissing me off just thinking about it.
What do we do?
Balls, goddamn it. Let's go, Carolina. Let's go, Hurricane.
Wow! No! Oh! No, don't speak that into existence.
I
already said it.
Oh, here they come. Bitch. 3-on-2.
I hope Kofi gets his ass
3-on-2. Oh, what a save! This is real time, folks. Listen, before we move to the next topic, I just got to say, we got a leader in the clubhouse for Pod is Worth. We like to name the show as we go. So this show already has Leader in the Clubhouse, and it's my blackness won't allow me to co-sign that shit.
I like that one.
Okay, so before we go to the next topic, just real quick, man, I have to point out how much it tickles me that the Money in the Bank theme song is also the wrestling theme song for our president of the United States. Like, I just get a kick out of that. And it's a bootleg for the Love of Money by the OJs. Just like, money! They got a black woman singing, money! Money, 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 money! Money, 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 money. That's also our president's theme song, gentlemen. Money. Money, 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 money.
You stopped the third topic for this.
Yes. Money, 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 money. It could get worse, trust me. For the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother.
Gentlemen, three words, and then it's ready, set, go. Charlotte has pull.
I really wish you would have set that up a little bit better, but okay, we'll go with what we got.
Then you give the context, Chris.
God damn it, I'm not the moderator. It's not my job to get in context, Andrew. It's my job to give opinions, to be witty, to be charming, to be charismatic, and every now and again, randomly break out into song.
All right, that's fine. I needed a beer, and now you're mad at me. Charlotte's fucking Andrade. Talk about it.
I kind of want that to be the title of the show now.
Okay, let me give a little backstory for those that don't know. So let me give a little backstory for those that don't know. All right, so obviously, yes, Charlotte is fucking Andrade. I think that's pretty widely known throughout the IWC. Is that correct, Mr. Blaz? You are their chief.
I agree.
Okay. So, after the superstar shakeups last week, Andrade, Aleister Black were both on Raw. And now, suddenly, bada boom, bada bing. Yeah!
Sorry, Andrew.
Hurricane is something like a slurricane. Hurricane. But you could call me slurricane. Hurricane. But you could call me Slurricane.
Now I hope Shane beats the shit out of Kofi and takes the belt.
Oh, wow!
Just, wow! That's where I'm going. You son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
Anywho, I mean, y'all won the title last year. Shut the fuck up. We have a coconut smile and shut the fuck up. Anywho, back to the thing. What you going to say something?
No, Charlotte's fucking Andrade. Continue.
Charlotte's fucking Andrade. And all of a sudden, after last week, yes, again, Andrade and Aleister Black were on Raw, and now all of a sudden, bada boom, bada bing, they're on SmackDown. And the prevailing logic from the IWC, Mr. Belaz's community, is that Charlotte has some pull, and she was able to get her significant other back onto the blue brand. Personally, I think that's horseshit, but what do you think, Balls?
I mean, I don't buy it, really. I mean, her last name's Flair. She's going to have some pull purely because of the legacy. But we all knew that people had issues getting to Canada last week, and that it was kind of two thrown together shows because of travel issues. So maybe Charlotte has pull, or maybe they just realized they wanted to do something else and they could get away with changing how they moved people because there was the built-in excuse of the ice storm fucked up travel, so we kind of just had to do what we had to do. And now we have Cesaro on Raw, and all this other stuff got moved this week instead of last week. So who knows? Plus, Vince signs off on everything at the end anyway, so it doesn't matter what pool anyone has, Vince still has to say yes.
God damn it. I hate when I agree with you, because God damn it, I just hate when I agree with you. But yeah, I don't hate it. You know, it sounds good because the narrative that they've been putting in, the storyline that they were pushing going into WrestleMania, is that Charlotte is the golden child and she has all this pull behind the scenes, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, she only has so much pull. I mean, yes, she is a flair, but goddamn it, her daddy didn't have that much pull. And her daddy is a goat. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to believe that Charlotte has more pull than her father ever had in WWE. I think this is a scenario, like Ball said, where there were some issues, some travel issues last week. Some of the farmers got sick as well, and they just quite weren't done with the superstar shakeup. And if anything, I think this might have been a move to benefit Aleister Black, seeing as how he's the one that had the vignette on SmackDown this week. And, you know, they threw a little bullshit angle together between Andrade and Finn Bálor. And I mean, it makes sense, but that's some shit it sounds like they threw together at the last minute, like before the show started. You know what I mean? But the fact that Aleister Black actually had a vignette on the show, I feel like it was more about that, getting him on to SmackDown and possibly getting him away from Mr. Rick O'Shea. And I mean, obviously, if Aleister Black is going to go on SmackDown, his wife is in a program with Andrade, so of course they're going to move over there. So I feel like this had more to do with Aleister Black than it had to do with Charlotte. But I understand why people get their panties in a bunch, because that's the prevailing narrative, that Charlotte just can't do no wrong, and WWE worked you melon farmers into thinking that that was actually true, and now this is why this is even a story and why it's one of our goddamn topics.
So let me get this right. Charlotte, Andrade, Zelina, and Aleister are all on the same brand?
See.
Okay. Would you guys mind if we did a very special, in honor of the upcoming 200th episode edition of Your Opinion, Man?
Sure.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like Your Opinion, Man.
How do you feel? Or let's put it this way, in a yes or no question. Do you feel like it would be a good idea to start a heel faction with the four of them?
No.
No.
Oh, fuck you guys. That was a horrible addition of...
Yeah, you're well, not my type, but know, thanks for the offer.
Your opinion, man.
Break kayfabe. Put them together.
I still want Andrade and Zelina Vega to end up together, because they just look so goddamn cute together, man. They just make sense. I understand, like, Zelina, she's got her thing. Like, I saw the WWE ride-along where she's talking about she's got a thing for white dudes with tattoos. So if I was you guys, I would get inked the fuck up in case shit don't work out. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I have zero tattoos. How about you, Balls?
I have one.
On your balls?
Where's...
On my balls. How do you know? It's balls. Yes. In case I ever forget what they are, it says balls.
I figured it was on your ass. You had on one cheek, you had K, and then on the other cheek, you had Fave rather. So you know, when you squeeze them together.
No, I was gonna get welcome aboard tattooed on my cock, but you know, they can't make print that small.
So you got WA on there instead, right?
Basically.
Pop. But yeah, I think people are making way too much of the quote-unquote pull that Charlotte Flair has. I mean, at the end of the day, she's still a worker. If everybody didn't have pull like that, why in the hell would you think she would have pull like that? And I think this was a decision based upon And another thing that I've heard thrown out is that Fox wanted more Latino representation on the SmackDown brand, which, you know, I don't know if I buy that because, you know, we still have so many months before SmackDown actually goes to Fox. But I will say this, like, you know, believe it or not, Fox actually has a very high Latino viewership. Like, you know what I mean? Like, real spit, man, most Latinos kind of been towards the conservative end of the spectrum. I mean, you know, they're entrepreneurs. They're really big on family and traditional values, and they tend to be highly Christian and religious as well. Like, they kind of been towards the conservative bent. So I can understand them wanting to get more Latinos onto the show for that particular reason. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm not saying nothing that's not true. You know what I mean? Like, Balls literally just co-signed what I said. If y'all need a white voice to co-sign what I just said.
I'm surprised Rey Mysterio is not on SmackDown, and not just because of being Latino, but of his broad appeal, and he's one of the most well-known wrestlers, like, of non-wrestling fans.
I think it's because he only signed a 2-year contract, if I remember correctly, and they wanted to get him on the quote-unquote flagship show before that contract ran out, because he already got dinged up once, and he's only been back for, like, what, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. So, that could just be a timing issue kind of thing with him.
Could we see a second mini shakeup right before the Fox thing starts?
I hope not.
Yes, I think so. I think so. Because, I mean, we have so, you know, we've got a few months to go. So, I think there's still going to be some moving and shaking, man. They're still trying to figure this shit out, quite frankly. That's what I feel. They're still trying to figure this shit out.
Next topic?
Okay, nobody.
Well, oh no! I thought you guys were done.
I
go ahead.
Gave my love to Karen. She promised she'd be true, but when I came back from war, I found 5 British soldiers had their way with her. It was consensual.
I'm gonna make Lord Alfred follow that.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything progressing. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Mr. Platt, Mr. Belaz, let's talk a little bit about All Elite Wrestling and what's going to be happening with their TV deal. I've been saying for months and months upon months, we're going to get Tuesday Night Dynamite, and we're going to get it on TNT.
And all their fathers were hanged, and the children all got pink eye, and all their Harry Potter books
wasn't good when Will Ferrell did it, and it was slightly better when you did it, Platt. Let me just put it that way.
I thought it was as well.
Thank you. I mean, Tuesday Night Dynamite being on TNT, I mean, I think there's some wordplay there, and that's the reason why you wanted it on TNT and not TBS. So I don't hate it. We know it's going to be on Turner because I think Turner released their fall schedule and we know it's going to be on one of the two. I haven't seen anything confirming one or the
have
other.
Have they, though?
Yes, Turner did release
their fall schedule. Have they, though?
They did.
When?
A couple days ago.
No, I'm being serious, man. I'm not even fucking with you, man, because I haven't seen it.
It was, yes. Turner released at their fall schedule. They have AEW slated for Turner TV, but they just don't have it labeled for TNT or TBS. So the major argument currently is it TNT or TBS? I like Tunney's take on TNT because I like the wordplay. So I think it's cute. And I'm leaning towards TNT, but it could just as easily be TBS. But we know it's Turner, and we know they have Jim Ross, and who the hell is it? Did they get Excalibur also for that? Or?
Yes, they got Excalibur, and there's another announcement there as well. I just can't remember who it is. But Jim Ross and Excalibur are there, and there's another one too. Maybe Tunney can do his job and do some goddamn fact-checking for us while we're talking.
But yeah, so I did like my job TNT is the choice between the two bigger Turner networks. What about you, Platt? Would you prefer TBS or TNT?
Well, the problem with TNT is that they do NBA on Tuesday nights now. So that's kind of a conflict of interest. So I would say TBS, but I don't know, man. And I'm still pissy about the whole Turner thing because, goddammit, it took y'all Mellon Farmers 18, 19 years to realize that wrestling was a viable brand on your brand. You know what I mean? Like, we could have still had WCW popping off, man. But, you know, you motherfuckers anyway.
Well, that was the AOL Time Warner thing that fucked that whole part up. Not necessarily Turner.
That's still the ownership, though, isn't it? I mean, who was Total Broadcasting owned by now? Again, PC, let's do some fact-checking. And while he's doing fact-checking, let me ask you a question, Belaz. I'm sure you've heard the rumors that they initially had a deal on the table with Showtime, and they turned that down because, you know, Showtime's a premium channel. And now the scuttlebutt that we're hearing is that they're doing a revenue share deal with Turner, which I personally find that kind of hard to believe. But what do you think?
I'm not 100% sure on that either myself, because some people were saying that, you know, they're gonna have to pay Turner to be on the network, and then I heard revenue share. It's weird because TV's in an odd spot now, and I'm not 1,000% sure which one is better, if it's good just to have a show or if it's good to have a certain structure to how you monetize commercials and who gets what piece of it. As long as it's not that shitty syndication thing that ROH has, I think they're fine. And it's not the Pursuit Channel, because no one fucking gets that, and that's why people don't really watch Impact. So AEW is definitely swinging a lot better than the other mid-major promotions or whatever the fuck you want to call them.
Alex Marvez is your third commentator. And what's the other thing you want me to look up? Man.
Ownership of Turner. It used to be Time Warner.
No, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it's Ted.
Yeah, ownership of Turner. Okay, cool. So should I go insider baseball here, or do you all think that the listeners will find that boring?
Who owns AOL?
That was another one you're supposed to be looking up.
I think AOL is not really a thing anymore. So,
but that's who merged with Time Warner, right?
So that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Well, Comcast bought Time Warner.
Comcast bought Time Warner?
That's what I thought.
Okay.
So it could really just be the fact that ownership is different now. Because if Comcast is in play instead of Time Warner, and AOL is obviously not the same place they used to was, that could be why they have a change in, you know, perspective.
AT&T owns everything.
AT&T. Okay, so should we go a little insider baseball to kind of break down how this thing works, or do y'all think that the listeners will find that boring?
Depends on how deep you dive. Well, give a first review of the insider baseball.
Okay, fair enough. So how this works is that, and I'm just going to go with sports here because that's a lot easier and it's going to go a lot faster, and we're working with time constraints and I've already wasted like 2 minutes. But so typically how it works is that cable networks, they'll sign up for, you know, professional sports, and I'm going to include professional wrestling with that, and they'll give them an upfront large sum of money because they know that on the back end they're going to be able to make that money back through selling advertisements during those particular shows. And in essence, what that means is that you work for the cable company, and what they'll end up doing is cable companies and just channels in general, they have these things that are called upfronts, and they have a lot of people from the industry. They'll bring in like celebrities that are associated with the network and blah, 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 and they'll feed you and get you drunk and shit like that. But all it is a dog and pony show to sell their shows to advertisers, and they'll let the advertisers know what shows they have coming up for the fall season, and then try to sell advertisers on those particular shows. You know what I mean? Now, the difference with that and a revenue share is that, and I'm just going to use an hour just because it's a lot easier for me to do that because I've been drinking. It's a lot easier for me to break down like a compound fraction. So let's say that you buy an hour of television on a cable network. Like I said, like how it typically works, especially if you're a live sporting event, the network in themselves pay you a large sum of money for that hour, and then they'll try to get their money back through the advertisers by selling advertising for your particular show. So in a revenue share, how that works is that, let's say, again, you have an hour of television. Typically, that hour is really going to be like 45 minutes, which leaves you 15 minutes for commercials. So in a revenue share, what happens is that out of that 15 minutes for commercials, the network themselves takes 7.5 minutes, and you take 7.5 minutes, and both of you all are responsible individually for bringing ad dollars to the table, or for selling advertising space for your 7.5 minutes for that particular program. And that's how that works. And I mean, it can be very lucrative. Like, I don't know if y'all know who Byron Allen is. He was like this corny ass black comedian, but this melon farmer became a billionaire doing that exact, following that exact model that I just let you down. Like all them court shows and shit like that that come on during the day, those was him. And he became
he's the Flash, right?
No, that's Barry Allen, you
motherfucker. Oh, okay, thank you.
But that's neither here nor there. Anything I said is neither here nor there, but that's how revenue share works. So it can be lucrative if you're somebody that is bringing a television show to the table and you're able to sell that ad space. But a couple of problems with that is, number one, there's a certain stigma when it comes to wrestling and advertising dollars. This is a reason why you don't see a lot of like iPhone commercials or even car commercials during WWE when they're on UFC, because although wrestling attracts that 18 to 35 demographic that advertisers foam over the mouth for, the prevailing logic and conception around wrestling is that most of their fan base is very lowbrow and low income, so they don't have a lot of cash to spend. So not a lot of high-end advertisers want to go in on that. That's why you see like Slim Jim commercials and Verizon Wireless and, excuse me, shit like that. You know what I mean? Now, on the other hand,
Ford commercials, then sheesh.
And on the other end of that, it's hard for me to believe that a network like, or networks like Turner Broadcasting would be willing to give primetime slots to an entity that they had to do a timeshare with or do a revenue share with, when they could easily put something on there in prime time that's probably going to draw ratings. So doubling back a little bit, where all these rumors came from were that there was a deal on the table with Turner, and then when they looked at All In and they saw that that was basically a Ring of Honor production, they lost faith in AEW, and then as a result of that, they offered them this timeshare. It's hard for me to believe that a primetime cable entity like Turner would be willing to do a timeshare in a primetime slot, unless they were going to do AEW and syndication, kind of like Sinclair does Ring of Honor, or if it's going to be, you know, late night type shit, like when ECW was on the Nashville network at 12 o'clock at night. And I don't know if anything I just said made any sense. I hope it did. And if it didn't, fuck everybody.
It makes sense. I get what you're saying.
Well, it didn't sound like it made sense the way you just said it made sense, motherfucker.
No. It made sense. It did sound like you were saying a lot of nothing at certain points. But, you know, bringing it all together, it made plenty of sense that you don't see why they would have to rely on AEW to bring stuff in when they could just do something that they know is a known entity to get time for prime time. I get that. But any kind of weird contract that they drew up, or weird offer that, or anything that seems weird to you, I think the cons kind of add enough stroke in there for, even if they wouldn't necessarily be 1,000% sure this could work, the fact that you got billionaires like the cons with plenty of connections through the European Football League and American football, like I'm pretty sure money talks. So they were willing to kind of roll the dice, even if it didn't seem 100%, you know, lucrative or 100% solid.
So you believe this bullshit narrative about them possibly having a time or an ad revenue share agreement with Turner Broadcasting? You believe that?
I don't necessarily believe it, but I'm willing to believe that whatever contract that Turner kind of threw at them, be it wonky, be it straightforward, it's all believable given who's involved in the process. Nothing is necessarily beyond the scope of reason. I don't like it after you explained it, but you know, it's possible.
And that's why it doesn't make sense to me that they would do an ad revenue share, because if that's the case, they just wouldn't have the motherfucker on TV. If you have to do an ad revenue share for a primetime slot, and if they're positioning themselves on a Tuesday night and they do the NBA on Turner on Tuesday nights, like, you're not going to do an ad revenue share unless, again, like, it's going to be syndicated like Sinclair does with TNA, and it's going to come on at God knows what hour, or
OH, doing some shit. Same difference.
What did I say?
You said TNA.
Okay, yeah, I meant Ring of Honor. Who gives a shit? But y'all motherfuckers.
I know, that's why I just said same difference. Just wanted to clear the air.
Who gives a shit?
We know what we're talking about.
Or if it's going to be, you know, in late night, like, you know, at midnight or some shit like that. Like, other than that, it just doesn't make sense to me why they would do an ad revenue share. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. And you're saying that they've already announced that AEW is going to be on their platforms in some shape, form, or fashion. I haven't seen that yet, because I don't think Turner has done their upfront yet. I think they don't do them till like May or something like that. But I don't know, man.
I don't know if it was early leaks or whatever, but a couple days ago, Turner already announced what they're gonna have on their fall lineup, and that's when a lot of places jumped on it as AEW has it, but we just don't know where yet, and we don't know when. So we don't know if it's going to be Tuesday 6:05, just to kind of bring back the old feel of the 6:05 Saturday, or if it's like you said, where it's going to be at like 11 or midnight or bumblefuck in the morning. You know what I mean? So we'll find out. I mean, we all know that I haven't exactly been the 1,000% AEW fanboy, but it's going to be interesting. And any place that's offering another place for people to get paid and go wrestle, that's always good. So I don't want it to fail. I just don't really know what the fuck is going to go on. But we'll find out come September, October time.
I think a perfect...
Indeed.
I think a perfect time slot would be 8:30 to 10 Eastern on Tuesdays. That's right, 90 minutes. I think 90 minutes would be perfect for them.
I don't mind 90 minutes. It's a nice number. Helps them stand out, too.
It does. I could go with the 2 hours, but yeah, 90 minutes is good as well.
Next topic.
And all day. You suck. Yes, you do. You suck. How about you? You suck. Whoop-de-doo. You suck.
And this is the point where the crowd cheers now, right? Because they get into the you suck, and then they cheer after that. Anyway. You got to deal with it, Balls. I'm sorry. We just like to sing.
No, that's Platt sighing for a change.
Oh, fuck you.
No, that was me cheering, motherfucker.
Oh, it sounds like you're hissing.
That sounds like an exasperated sigh. Yeah. That didn't sound like like adoration or adoring mm-hmm. cheers.
Mm-hmm. It was supposed to sound like a capacity crowd cheering.
Yeah, well.
Or try again.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
It's probably the first time I've ever used that clip correctly.
I still like how he blamed me for the assumed sigh, though.
I was like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. Apologies, I mean, all around from PC Tony.
You are the asshole on the podcast. I'm an asshole, but I'm not smug.
I know. I just like how you set it up, and Tony's like, "Fuck you, balls," and I'm like, "I didn't even say anything this time." Please believe me,
Crocky. That's a naughty little snake. All right, Undertaker and Kurt Angle pulled from Starcast, but goodness gracious, if we didn't replace them with Kobashi.
Thank you. You noticed. That's such a better name.
I know you're gonna get moist about that. Of course,
Ball's about to get rock hard for ejaculation.
Moist and hard at the same time. You sound like a Parisian bakery.
Ew. I didn't even have a reaction for that.
Like, I don't even know how that made sense, but it sounded funny.
It did sound funny and disgusting all at the same time, which works for Parisian, so I'll give you points. Ugh. Ew. I'm never going to look at a baguette the same way again.
Yeah, boy. I don't know what people expected here, though. Like, did you really expect that Undertaker and Kurt Angle, who, for all we know, are still signed to WWE Legends contracts? Like, what did y'all expect? I mean, this WWE pulling rank and pulling their dick out, and, you know, they got the biggest dick in the land right now.
There was prevailing logic that Taker was no longer affiliated with WWE a few months ago when he, like, removed all the WWE branding at some point. And I don't know if that was a work or if he was in between contracts, so he had to take off all the branding, and then he signed another one shortly before his little thing with Elias on Raw after WrestleMania. I don't know, but what it probably is, just WWE made sure that they lock those people up so that anybody associated with AEW doesn't get any kind of rub off of them. Shit, I mean, they cut out the little Billy Gunn Triple H jab from the Hall of Fame speech when they replayed it on USA. Like, they didn't even keep in that whole Vince can't fire me thing. So it's smart. It's good business. You don't give away, you know, any kind of cross promotion for free when they're technically competition. And hey, Kenta Kobashi is fucking huge. Kenta Kobashi is one of the biggest fucking names in Japan. He's the biggest, I'd say he's the biggest living pillar of heaven. I had to think about how I was wording that, because Kawada is regarded by a lot of people as pretty high, but Kobashi is probably the biggest, best name, one of the most well-regarded champions from the Four Pillars of Heaven. So, yeah, Kobashi is gigantic for the right crowd. Right crowd.
I hate to agree with you, but you're probably right, because I wanted to throw Muda out there, but you're probably right. That probably is the... You're
Muda,
right.
Muda is
talking about like Rickadozzi and you're right. We're talking about Rickadozzi and you know, Antonio Inoki, and yeah, you're right.
From the old school with the Ricky Doza and the Antonio Inoki, the Giant Baba, that's one thing.
Forgot about Giant Baba. All right,
Muda right. And Chono, they're more known as the New Japan Three Musketeers with I think Shinya Hashimoto. And the Four Pillars of Heaven are Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, and Taue. And the pillars technically got bigger because everybody knows Misawa and Kobashi and Kawada to some degree. And they were kind of what All Japan made their bread and butter off of in the 90s. And then they all branched out with Misawa making Noah, Kobashi kind of floating with Misawa, Noah, Kawada stayed in All Japan, and New Japan kind of worked independently, but sometimes they cross-promoted within one another. But Kobashi is a huge name, especially for the AEW crowd. The hardcore, smart mark, you know, lots of them are Japanese Puro fans. It's late, stop it. If you smell... Okay, there we go.
That's all, folks.
But you know what I mean. Like, it's... You know, I'm a little upset that you haven't made your own lyrics to that yet. Just something like call up the sushi shop and start it from there and just be like, get yourself a bento box.
Call up the sushi shop. Get yourself a bitsy box. Cool job position.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm surprised.
Here we go, California roll.
But before I get into the AEW talk, man, can we all agree that on SmackDown Tuesday night that the Kairi Sane and my girl Asuka coming out together, they looked utterly ridiculous. I can't be the only person on the face of the planet that thought that they looked ridiculous coming out together.
They look Japanese.
No, they didn't look Japanese. Like, individually, they have gimmicks. That's cool. It works. But as a collective, their gimmicks together, like Voltron, it's way too much. They both look ridiculous. Somebody's got to come out not wearing something, man.
No, see, this is the beauty. They're going to be known as the Pirates of Tomorrow. And then when Io Shirai comes up, it's going to be Sky Captain and the Pirates of Tomorrow. That's exactly how they're going to do it. It's going to be a giant movie reference, and Paige is going to talk for all of them.
Did you watch SmackDown?
Yes.
They didn't look ridiculous coming out with all that regalia.
They look normal. That's their gimmicks. They look
ridiculous together.
They will eventually... Okay, eventually they will probably come up with tandem outfits, but right now they're just the two that Paige wanted to put together. It's Paige's project, and that's all they're being framed as. So I'm not upset with the fact that they don't have a tandem gimmick to kind of smooth out the look just yet, because it looks like they've got to get through the original tag team, like the rest of Absolution, before Paige can move on to new girlfriends or however the fuck they're you know, framing this, but I'm fine with it. Like, shit, it took Bobby Roode and, you know, Chad Gable a while before they started getting, like, matching outfits. It always, and, like, Cesaro and Sheamus kind of came out doing their own thing, purposely looking clunky before they started doing, you know, the kind of mixed entrance music and coming out in kilts and the glasses and everything. So it's something that just give it time. They just look like themselves. It's fine. Nobody hates it.
First off, I didn't want to bring up Bobby Roode because I feel like all the good jokes about his crushed ass have already been used. So I didn't want to go there. But they looked utterly ridiculous, man. Like, somebody's going to have to make a change. It just is what it is. Now, as far as the AEW thing, yeah, I guess I've said what I had to say. Like, that doesn't surprise me at all, especially considering that The Undertaker is booked for the Jam in the Sand Part 3, which comes up a month after StarCast. So that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I'm in the minority here where I don't really think that Conrad Thompson has a working relationship with AEW. Like, I believe what he says where they're just friends. Like, you know, and again, that might be my naivete, but I believe him when he says, like, he's just friends with Tony Khan, Shaka Khan's son, and, of course, with Cody and the Bucks and this and that. Like, if it comes out that they do have more of a relationship, you know, that's what happens. But I look at StarCast like I look at WrestleCon. You know what I mean? They play off each other, but they're totally separate entities.
Shaka Khan.
Which is not a bad way to look at it. Like, I get what you're saying. And you really think Conrad's going to admit to being involved with AEW any more than he is when Shivani is still involved with MLW to some degree, but because of baseball season, that messed up his ability to, you know, commentate on some of the stuff. And I think him and Bruce Pritchard are still doing the What Happened stuff. So that's WWE now. I really don't think he wants to admit that there's more behind it, because that would fuck up way too much of his cash flow at the moment. So it's much better to say you're just friends than, you know, a side chick.
That's fair. And shout out to Conrad Thompson as well. He has as many jobs as me. It just so happens that his jobs are much more lucrative than mine. So there's that. But we literally have the same amount of jobs.
No, I get it. And I can't disrespect the hustle. But again, I think he's just adding lip service when we know there's more to it, but he just can't say it's more, that'll just fuck up his money.
Yeah, fair enough. You might be right. Maybe I'm being naive.
Which is kind of nice. It's kind of refreshing to have somebody with a more positive, you know, face value outlook on some stuff. Everybody can't be jaded and cynical all the time.
Well, just because I don't wake up in the morning and drink a bottle of poison, motherfucker, like you. Like, come on, man.
Hey, you know, you can't say that. My job doesn't know I go to work drunk.
Well, they will now.
No, they won't, because then they won't know how I act when I'm sober. It'll just be a complete fucking 180, and they won't know what's going on.
Well, I pray you're at least drinking vodka, because they can't smell it.
No, whiskey, man. What, you got invented mouthwash for a reason.
What am I talking about? You're a white dude, man. You probably taking like rails of coke to the face before you go into the office.
No, I never was a coke guy. Like, you know, I do a little bit of the bud and a lot of drinking. But yeah, coke is a little too 80s for me, bud. Ecstasy was fun in the early 2000s when raving and techno was really cool. The glow sticks are a motherfucker when you get here. Yeah. See, you know that get the German techno going and play with the light switches.
I don't know where it went. God damn it. I got rid of it.
That's what she said.
Pop. I never fell too far off the cliff. I was gateway, i.e. marijuana. I was prohibition, i.e. liquor. And booze. Mm-hmm. And I did dabble in the occasional pill here and there, but not ecstasy, more like a Vicodin and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty innocent as long as you don't go over the top with that kind of stuff.
Although I can see how it's very easy to go over the top with that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, because it makes you feel invincible, so it's just
yes. It's such a wonderful feeling. Like, I started off with a half a pill, and then I had to do the whole pill. And then I had to take two at a time. It's like, oh, I see how this shit happens. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, okay.
Yes.
Because what I did, and I'm kind of telling myself, but I feel like the statute of limitations is over now. So when I was in college, I sold weed to, you know, keep money in my pocket and whatever, whatever. And I had a friend of mine. She had her wisdom teeth pulled, and they gave her Vicodin for the pain. And she knew, you know, what I did on campus. And she said, hey, I got these Vicodins in this prescription, man. Maybe you can get rid of them. So I was like, okay, cool. But as any good seller will tell you, you got to try your product out before you can sell it. Because what the hell else are you going to know what you're talking about, right?
True. Yeah.
So I started with a half a pill. And I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. And then eventually, again, like I said, I moved up to a full pill. And then before I knew it, I was downing them two at a time with a bottle of beer. So I saw, oh, yeah, I see how this works now. Yeah, I probably need to pull back a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you were able to restrain yourself, because lots of people don't. Lots of people just keep wanting that same high feeling. So they go from half to one to two to four to ten to dead. So it's kind of how that path works.
That's fair enough, man. Like, there's only two vices that I didn't pick up, and that was the opioids and gambling.
You really never dabbled in the gambling, or you mean you never dove into it as a vice?
Oh, no, I dabbled in the gambling, and I got fucked up in the game. That's why I don't gamble anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I got lucky when I was working about 10 years ago at a bank. There was a customer that had, like, his own little pool thing going on. I think I made about $5,000 out of that whole thing because it was a really, really good year, and I had a couple, like, perfect weeks, and it obviously paid out better depending on how many you got right and all that other shit. So at that point, I kind of stopped. But
what fucked me up is I got caught out here ass betting the USC versus Texas national championship game. That was the UFC team or the USC team with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and all of them.
Oh, okay.
And the Texas team versus Vince Carter. And I got caught out there ass betting for
Vince
that
Young.
Game. So if y'all don't know, an ass bet is when you bet money, but you don't have the money to cover the bet in case you lose. So, i.e., if you lose, that's your ass. That's why it's called an ass bet. And yeah, I got caught out there doing that because I thought there was no way in hell that USC was going to lose that game. And lo and behold, bada boom, bada bing, they lost that game.
Vince Carter was magic that game.
He was, and that's what cured me of my gambling addiction.
Yeah, I can imagine. See, mine was
not
nice
Vince
story.
Carter.
Like, I made out real well and didn't want to tempt fate. You're like, I got raped. And I'm like, okay, we're good. Yeah,
I got caught up there fucked up. Like, thank God I got a mouthpiece on me, so I was able to talk myself out of it before I was able to get the money. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
And anything you want to add, Tony? Any kind of, like, you know, drug admission, gambling in it, you know. This is just, you know, it's a safe space. It's just like Firefly Funhouse. It's a safe space. We can talk.
Yay!
Two things. One, Miranda's not on this show, so stop that. And two, fuck you! Fuck.
Shout out to Miranda. She's actually kind of cute. Like, she's straight for the stroke, and I'm going to probably get some heat for that.
You stalking her or something? What the fuck are you getting at?
Yeah, I've probably said too much already. I'm just saying, shout out to Miranda.
Her gimmick is she ain't got a Twitter, so you had to go looking for that on Facebook. Oh, wait until Reba finds out. Your balls will be in that next crowd. But before Avengers.
Bruh, my balls are already in the crock pot, man, if you only knew. So, anywho, why don't you let good folks know where they can find you?
You ain't helping yourself at all. We'll be finding you in the Atlanta General City Morgue or something like that. So, all right, at least I'll be on Twitter for a little bit till Amber finds me, which, lots of white people in New Jersey, she'll never be able to figure it out. So, IWC War Chief, Twitter, find me. Chris, while you're alive, where can people find you?
She gonna fuck around and kill Vince Russo, thinking it's you. But you can...
Well, I'll be happy about that. Amber will be a hero then.
Hey, man, you all can find me on Twitter momentarily at The Real C Platt. But more importantly than that, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot merchandise. If you enjoy what we do and all the content we provide, show your boys some love. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. Again, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And I had to belch, I beg your pardon, but the party doesn't end here, folks. We're going to do Pod Is More. And if you enjoyed this show and what we do, bruh, it's $5. Literally, for five goddamn motherfucking melon farming dollars, you can get more of the great content that the Chair Shop provides for you. Just go to I ain't even going to go all that way. Just go to patreon.com/thechairshot. Again, patreon.com/thechairshot. And for $5, if you enjoy what we provide you and everything and all the great shows and content that we provide on thechairshot.com, for $5, not only will you get it early, you'll get more, folks. Again, thechairshot.com, we're not just a website, we're a movement. Mr. Tunney, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me uncomfortable in the Midwest.
Why are you uncomfortable? Is it still snowing there?
No, I was just referencing back to earlier conversations.
Okay, cool. So, hey, for the commissioner, PC Tunney.
That would have been funny 3 minutes ago.
Okay, cool. Oh, I don't even know what you said, but whatever he said. For the commissioner, PC Tunney. For Mr. Andrew, don't call me Snowflake Balls Blast. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in. We surely appreciate you. God bless each and every one of you. Hopefully, I'll be here next week to be able to perform on Pod Is War. And until next time, shalom. Hit it, Carly. 'cause it is.
I don't even know why I played that. That was horrible.
Yeah, why would you play the Olympics theme?
I thought it was Kurt Angle. I thought it was Kurt Angle's theme song again.
Wow. Okay. I got you. You suck. Yes, you do. You suck. Whip-de-doo. You suck. How about you? You suck.
Is that your Firefly Funhouse like segment right there for Kurt Angle?
Those are actually Amber's ad-libs, so I'm kind of...
Oh, really?
Right now. Yeah, okay. Seriously, yeah. Because so I do the You Suck, and she would add the ad-libs whenever Kurt came out.
So you're doing some damage control so she doesn't murder you in your sleep?
Pretty much.
Okay.